Hello and welcome to the Last Mixtape podcast. My name is Stephen White, and on this week's show, new music from Gemma Hayes, the return of Melts and Pillow Queens. But first, dear listener, you are very welcome back to the show. Now, listener, let it not be said that the king of podcasting is not also the king of the Eurovision, because I called it, dear listener. All those weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I said that Bambi Thug would be chosen as this year's winner to go and represent Ireland at the Eurovision. If you go back and listen to the episode, you might hear me say a completely different name, but you would be wrong in thinking so. The chosen artist last night was Bambi Thug with their song Doomsday. I think it's a very interesting and it's a really cool choice. I think when we were talking about it last week, the feeling was around it, and the feeling was around the, some of the picks with J.O.L., Erica Cody and Elsha, that there was a kind of a movement to more modern look at the Eurovision and a more interesting look at it. And I have to say that having watched Bambi Thug's performance last night on The Late Late Show, I did not watch The Late Late Show, let's be honest about it, but having seen it, it looks like the right choice and a really strong choice as well. I think it's sometimes it's just a representation of maybe where the music scene is or what's happening. I did say when we were talking about it first that I was not aware of Bambi Thug's music or art up to this point. But what I have seen is something really interesting, something really cool, something different and something on the periphery. So that's how I feel about it. I wish them the best of luck in their Eurovision journey, I want to say. And very worthwhile them. But it did make me think about something else in a kind of tangential sort of way. This week, I was having a discussion surrounding music festivals and what is kind of out there and what is being facilitated and everything else. Whilst there are some amazing festivals out there, insert names here, you want to say Forbidden Fruit, you want to say Longitude, All Together Now, Another Love Story, all of these, you know, great festivals. You could even probably put Other Voices up there as a festival of sorts in a kind of a different way. But we were talking about metal festivals and whether or not metal festivals are kind of alternative music festivals or festivals that kind of cater to maybe an artist like Bambi Thug could appear on, or maybe, you know, you could say probably Electric Picnic and stuff like that. But I was thinking on the side of something that, yeah, from the more alternative sense of music, what is out there. And I know there a couple of years ago, and I don't believe it happened because of the incident or because of lockdown, that there was a festival called Sunstroke a couple of years ago, and it had the Deftones, I think it had Faith No More, there's a few other acts on it. And it did feel like that, like somebody was like, oh, there might be a gap in the market here for something that's along the lines of like a Reading or a Download or something like that. And the idea that maybe the kind of the harder edged alternative scene, you want to call it metal, might be a more dated term, I think, for music nowadays. But is it facilitated? And why, if not, why not? Because if you, let's say, if the biggest metal band, and one that I've seen on many occasions going back to the days of yore with Metallica playing the RDS many years ago, supported by The Darkness and Limp Bizkit, I think it was around the time of their Saint Anger album, and they played subsequent many times, you know, huge bands like that have played Ireland in either a setting like that, like the RDS, a setting like Malahide, Three Arena, Three Olympians, stuff like that. But is metal music getting kind of the short end of the stick in terms of representation? It does seem like that. And I think I'm guilty of this too. So I'm not sitting here going, well, nobody's talking about metal. And then people, well, you're fucking not. But it did make me think that is there a... This is completely tangential, by the way, from the Eurovision one. So if you're thinking like, how did he get from the Eurovision to this? This is kind of a little bit of an insight into how my brain works. But go with me on this, if you will. Go with me on this journey of the Eurovision into metal / alternative festivals in Ireland. And whether or not, like, do we ignore that genre? Do we ignore that scene? Is the scene not big enough? I would probably say that it is. Is it kind of a fashion thing? Are we saying, well, you know, it's not fashionable? Like, whatever that means in terms of music, the idea of there being a fashion in music, I think, is getting quite old, ironically, since there's such a long tail and people listen to so many different things. I bet you if you listen to a lot of the top artists around now, they do have tastes that would include that, or would include like more alternative music that you would never think of, you know, Nine Inch Nails or what have you. And yeah, so I was kind of thinking about that, and we were discussing that, and it's just like there is no seeming facility for that. Anyone I know who's very much into that type of music, if they want to see it in a festival setting, and it does seem like, dear listener, that the further we get into this, there seems to be this feeling that a lot of the big bands are kind of more looking for festivals or kind of curated live outdoor kind of sets to come along and play. It might be a financial thing, it might be a touring thing, there might be a myriad of reasons to do it. But it seems like the option is to do it that way, unless you're one of the super big bands that, you know, as I say, the Metallicas or the Taylor Swifts of the world, people who can really kind of do that. So is it kind of like, I believe there is a crowd for it, and I did not see what the take up on Sunstruck was, but if you see Bring Me That Horizon, and they're now, again, I'm going into a world in which there might be people who go, well, that's not metal, or that's not alternative, or whatever. These things happen in all scenes. But I would put a fair amount to say that that's in that area. But if there was a kind of like that type of music festival, how well would it do? And is there kind of an internal bias towards that music here in Ireland? I would say there probably is. I think I've spoken about it a couple of times where sometimes, and this is not Irish music scene, this is not a criticism of you at all in any way, so relax, but sometimes it feels like we can't hold two ideas at the same time in terms of the genres we like. It's like, we like this genre, this is this cool genre now, and this shall be the cool genre until another one comes along. And it doesn't feel like that's where music's at anymore. It feels like music's at 100 different places, and people will go, well, this is the in music now, or this is what the trend is. I think if you think in those terms, I think you're probably outside what's happening. I could be outside what's happening. It's always possible. But that's kind of my feeling on it, that I think there is a market out there, and I think there's a fan group or a scene in the metal music. There could be others. And if you can think of another that you think, oh, absolutely, I'm into this music, and there's nothing in terms of this for a festival. And it has to be, obviously, a big enough scene to facilitate something of that size. But it does feel like maybe we're missing a trick, or maybe we're not giving a scene its full voice. And I think I'm to blame for that too. I've definitely ignored it. Generalizations of like Fibber McGee's and places like that. So yeah, I think if you're listening to the podcast and you have, you know, a view on this, if you're like, absolutely, you know, I'm from that scene, I don't see it represented in festivals, I don't see a festival representing it, there's, you know, if I want to go to it, I have to go to the UK, I have to go to Europe, Belgium, places like that, to go and see a festival of bands that I like. And I think if that is true, and there are people doing that, then as a music scene, I think we're missing something. Dramatic music. Now, it's playlist picks time. Yes, dear listener, every week, your faithful host delves deep into the latest releases coming out of Ireland and adds the best ones to the last mixtapes. Irish mixtape on Spotify, possibly the greatest playlist ever made. Prove me wrong, dear listener. You can't. There are pretenders. There are people out there who are like, this is the best playlist for Irish music. They're, as I say, pretenders to the throne, to the crown, to the championship. I'll leave that in as well. Okay, so there have been a few additions this week, and we're going to talk about them. We're going to review some music. New Dad have released their debut album, Modra. That was reviewed in last week's show, so you can listen to my full review on that. But the short answer to Steve, did you like Modra? Yes, I did, dear listener. I quite enjoyed it. So This week, Gemma Hayes with Feed the Flames. And I'm absolutely delighted to see that Gemma Hayes is back. I was such a huge fan in the past of her music. Back of My Hand is one of my favourite all-time tracks of hers. First kind of new music, she released an album in 2014, Bones and Longing. That was really good. But new music coming from her for the first time in quite some time. And I have to say, this is a powerful, powerful track. Beautifully produced. It has a real size and scale to it that, you know, as I say, I love Back of My Hand, but it definitely didn't have this feel to it. So there's this huge, I don't want to say sonic jump. It's in the same territory. It's in the same feel and space. It's definitely Gemma Hayes being Gemma Hayes. But I have to say, I adored it. It really brought a smile to my face. And it's great seeing artists come back and release great music and songwriters and stuff like that. Because, yeah, after a little while away, for whatever reason, I do not know, she's come back with some great music and shown why people who were fans before are still fans now. I believe there's a new album coming out at some point. But yeah, absolutely fantastic work from Gemma. And yeah, I'll be one of the first people to go see her live. I've never actually seen her live, although as a fan, I was really not involved. That was a weird kind of turn there. I wasn't involved, but I went my first time when I moved to Dublin. I was so into the kind of the folkish scene that was around at the time. So I was like, I think I've seen Josh Ritter a million times around then, you know, One Day International, Lisa Hannigan, Damien Rice, people like that. I'd seen them all, those shows. And yeah, Gemma Hayes, a fantastic songwriter, and great to see her back. Check out Feed the Flames on the Last Mixtapes Spotify playlist. The next release that we're going to talk about is Melts with Figment. And yeah, again, another return and another album announcement. And this will be the sophomore album release from Melts. And Figment, yeah, really going into that krautrock alternative rock, kind of almost melded with post-punk thing, but enough distance away that you couldn't really call it either. It's definitely influenced by that kind of milieu. But I think they're, again, another great band with a hypnotic sound. I will say that sometimes that type of music loses my interest. I can't, the repetitiveness sometimes I kind of feel doesn't gel with what I like and what I like to listen to. But I think Melts find that right point to jump off the repetitiveness and add something new and add something different and add some atmosphere in it. So there's a hypnotic feel, but it never falls into, oh, I'm hypnotized, oh, I'm asleep. And that's a really, really important thing to get into. And the next release is coming from Pillow Queens, them as well coming back with new music and a new album coming up, and their new track is called Gone. Yeah, and a great fuzz-ridden track this is from them. Really showing, I don't want to say a different side, but another layer, maybe another texture to their sound. This was always kind of in there. There's kind of an aggression, there's a fuzz, there's almost a playfulness to the way that the song bounces and kind of comes bounding out the speakers. I was really happy when I heard it because it was just like, oh, this is a different kind of side to their sound. This is a different feel to it. As we kind of gear up for another album release from them. And it's great to see them evolve as they go on with their releases. I think they're an incredible band and worthy of all the kind of hype and kudos and plaudits that they get. I think they're just a great, great band. Next on to Rue with their brand new single, Overdraft. And yeah, a complete shift in tone and scale from Pillow Queens. But this is a great, great track. Really well-produced pop music is an incredibly difficult thing to do because when you look at what you're putting yourself up against in that world, you have to be like pristine, you have to have the production, you have to have the scale, it has to be pinpoint. There's so many things that if it's just a little off and if it just doesn't work by that much, it's the songwriting, if it's the hooks, it's the beats, it's the harmonies or whatever, it can all kind of feel a little bit like a kind of a weak punch. But I have to say, this is a cracking, cracking track from them. And in terms of style, it has a real, I want to say, maybe it's because I just heard a Dua Lipa track, that new one from her that just came out, Training Season. But it has that feel to it. The harmonies have that feel to it. It has that modernity to the pop to it. It has that slickness, that size, that scale. And yeah, it's incredible from them because, as I say, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard territory to hit. The kind of the slick pop one. But I think Overdraft really hits it, and I think they really knocked it out of the park. Another track I want to bring your attention to this week on the Last Mixtape Spotify playlist is from Lilla Vargen with Belong. And Lilla has been releasing music here in Ireland for a little while, a couple of years. And I have to say that this was one where it was just like I was expecting something. I got something completely different. I love being surprised when it comes to music. I love being surprised by artists that I know of. And she comes out with this track, Belong, and you can listen to it. It really has this almost the War on Drugs 1975 vibe that I wasn't expecting from the more contemplative releases that she's released before. The songwriting is still, I think, in that scope. I think she's that type of artist that has a contemplative feel, but put into a kind of a different type of production and a different type of style, it really sings as a song. And yeah, I absolutely adore this. I was like, way to go, Lilla. I don't know her, but I was like, way to go, that's so cool. You've changed it up, you've tried something new, you've opened the scale. And as we're kind of talking about the Rue track, it's a hard thing to do, you know. I think CMAP moved into a little bit of that kind of style as well with Stay For Something in her album. So yeah, it's a real big anthemic style to do, and you have to have the songwriting, you have to have the production and everything to hit it. But yeah, Lilla really knocked it out of the park with this one. I really enjoyed listening to it. And on to the final track that I want to bring your attention to on the Last Mixtape Spotify playlist is from Animo Drive, which this is Oisin from Thumper, his solo project. He's released a couple of tracks under this name, and it's The Finder's Keeper. And yeah, I love this track in almost in a kind of the same way of the tracks we were talking about. It's actually a really good mix of all those different textures, because it starts off a little bit scratchy, a little bit homemade almost sounding. There's a kind of an edge to it. There's corners to it. And then it really just opens up and builds as a track. And Oisin's vocal is very, I'd say, very different from what he does in Thumper, which is that more kind of performed, more kind of showman-y, almost kind of noise rock thing that he does. And this is a kind of pulling that back slightly into a kind of finding a different tone, a different texture with his voice, which is really impressive. And his songwriting, I have to say. And I love this track because it really does that thing of kind of, oh, it's one thing and then it's a completely different, not a completely different, but it's a different dynamic, a different scale towards the end. And a really interesting track from Animo Drive and Oisin, and a real showcase of his ability to find different textures and different styles. The Finder's Keeper, I think, is an incredible track from him, and I can't wait to hear more. But I really liked it. Has that thing that's, you know, like a meerkat moment, which is is, do you know what I mean? Like when you're listening to a track, right? And you're listening track off the Animo Drive. Yeah, absolutely love this track. So it basically, what I mean is, you're listening to a song. You go, oh, I like this. This is a good song. I'm enjoying myself. And then they'll just do something. And you're like, oh, what was that? You know, and you're kind of like a meerkat. You'll kind of like put your head up from whatever it was you're doing. And you'll be like, wait a minute, that wasn't what I was listening to. Is this the same song? Is this the same artist? Is this the same universe? I love moments like that in music, because it really kind of just captures your imagination. And you're just like, oh, I like that. What was that? I want that again. Do that again. And meerkat moments in music, yeah. That's the playlist. That's the playlist this week. The greatest Spotify playlist ever made by the greatest Spotify playlister to have ever playlisted our podcast ever. How lucky are you, dear listener? Dear listener, this is the section in which we talk about new gigs happening around Dublin Town this week until the next podcast. So from the Three Olympia, Bombay Bicycle Club will be playing. They'll be playing a pair of nights on Tuesday and Wednesday. Sites will be playing on Wednesday night as well in Whelan's Upstairs venue. We also have the great and legendary Depeche Mode playing at the Three Arena, no less. Obviously, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm going to say you're probably a fan of Depeche Mode, a great, great band. And also we have Milk, who are playing the Academy in Dublin on Saturday, February 3rd. Also another great band too, to catch, an Irish band as well. So support Irish music, or just go out and see live gigs, have fun, enjoy music wherever and however you wanna. Cool. And so it goes, and there it went. But before I go, Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to the Last Mixtape podcast in all the usual podcasting places and spaces. You can also submit your music or your gigs to me via stephen@thelastmixtape.com with the subject matter TLMT podcast, or via Instagram, or however you want to contact me. But for now, this was the Last Mixtape podcast. You were the listener, and I was Stephen White. Hey, so long.